Get ready to feel the fever. You are listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously. Hosted by, it's in his eyes, I can tell what he's thinking, whether it's good or bad, David Lim and me. There ain't a doctor in this town who is more qualified than the JB.
Oh, yes.
Joel Babington. Hello, Davo. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Joel B. Good to see you.
The doctor is in the house. It is good to see you, darling. I feel like we've not spoken in a little bit. Your boy has been on his travels. David Lim is back from his world tour, ladies, gents, and non-binary friends. How was the trip with the boys?
Wouldn't call it a world tour. Let's call it a one-off show in Maspalomas, Gran Canaria.
A money can't buy experience.
Literally. So yeah, that was me, Liv Laugh Levine, Hal, and Adam.
All dear friends of the pod.
Yes, all pop royalties there. We had a great time. Oh my God, that was this one bar we went to. So first of all, we've been like just hopping around the Yumbo Center, trying to find somewhere to dance because there's lots of just standing around watching drag shows or whatever, but like right. We want to dance. So Hal walked past this place and he, from a distance, just his ear picked up Cheryl being played. Oh. He's like, they're playing Cheryl here, and like dragged us all from one corner to the other. And then we went to this little marquee tent called Kiki's, and we were just there for ages. And they played the Saturdays mega mix. They played the Steps mega mix.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, intense. Like, it just relentless bangers.
Well done, Hal, for your gay sixth sense picking up on that. I mean, absolutely brilliant. But Davo, before we get into everything today, can you read us a lovely 5-star review?
Okay, JB. Now, this one is left by Richard here in King Charlie's Great Britain. The title goes, "So good, they ended up in one of my dreams."
Mm.
The other night I dreamt I was at a party and Janet Jackson was there. I ran up to her to tell her about the podcast and how they discussed her All For You album, in brackets, which they have yet to do, lol. When she grabbed me by the side of my arms and said, "I know. I love them both too." And I immediately ran to find David to tell him, and we both started jumping on the spot. Mad, but true. Give these guys a listen. They are exceptional and help to keep the passion for Y2K pop alive. Thank you, baby. Thank you, Richard.
I feel like that's kind of one of the most perfect ones for us, because always talk about these dreams that I end up having on this podcast. So I felt
that's had some wild dreams. Yeah.
And now our listeners are too. So I absolutely love that for all of us. So thank you, Dick. Thank you, Janet. Right, David. Today we are going to feel the fever, so I think I need to kick things off.
Oh, there she is.
With a glass of Kylie Anne's finest wine.
Oh, is that the Kylie Rosé?
It's the Kylie Rosé.
Oh, how can we get a sponsorship deal, Joel? So we can... I mean, we're already giving her a free mention. Not that she needs it.
But
everyone in the pop and gay community is guzzling this stuff.
Including us.
Yes.
Including us.
But I'm being a lad with the beer.
Cheers, lad.
Cheers.
You know, Kylie Anne, you've brought rosé back into my life. I didn't drink rosé for a good 10 years until Kylie brought it back.
Now, that should be the 5-star review for Kylie Wines.
She came back into my world with rosé. Do you want to kick us off, pick us up with who we're covering today, what's going on with old KM?
So, JB, we are celebrating Kylie Anne Minogue's multi-platinum-selling 8th studio album, Fever, today, which also happens to be her highest-selling album in her career so far.
Brilliant.
I think everyone listening, everyone in the world, knows this movement, this era. Like, the hits were so strong. The global impact was so felt, even in America, where normally, you know, they're not big monogamous communities out there. They're small.
Hello, America.
Hello, America, for the first time in many years. So they stepped up and paid attention in this era. Fever was a massive international success, selling over 6 million copies worldwide. It spawned 4 hit singles, one of which even scored Kylie her very first Grammy Award. Now, growing up in Australia at this time, this was the first Kylie album I bought. This was when I really started to be like, oh, I'm in the fandom for sure, for sure now. You know, whereas Light Years, we did our Light Years episode last year. That was sort of like, oh, it was kind of like a real introduction for me after just hearing the 80s hits. Like I now started to connect who Kylie is visually with the songs I hear on the radio. Whereas Fever, I was already ready. I'm like, okay, here we go.
Fever's out. You are monogamous.
I am monogamous. I'm ready to commit to a monogamous relationship. What about you, JB? What's your memory of this time?
You know, the last album was huge. This was then even bigger. And I feel like still to this day, especially the first single we're going to talk about, is such like a prolific pop culture moment, and it just always will be. I did have a copy of this album, but it was a copy of a copy. Sorry, Kylie Anne.
Oh, what one of those you bought on holiday? In the market, in like Malta or somewhere.
Yes, it was from the infamous Malta market. Which had the Jessica Anne album.
Oh my Lord.
Well, I don't even know if it had the Jessica Anne. It just had the girl asking for Jessica Anne. And that's when it ticked it all for me. I'm like, okay, noted. Yeah, it's just an Anne market. We got Tina Anne Barrett, Hilary Anne Duff, Vanessa Anne Hudgens, and Kylie Anne Minogue. So I remember my sister's friend bought a bunch, I bought a bunch. So then anything that I didn't purchase, she then copied her ones.
Savvy.
So she bought Kylie Anne Minogue's Fever and then copied that for me.
Wow.
I was like 10 years old.
Yeah, literally, no judgment.
I've made up for it with purchasing a lot of
Kylie wine.
And I have not one, but two copies of the vinyl in my flat. So
The Fever vinyl. Which ones?
They're both the white one.
Oh, wow. Trey exclusive.
The National one that was like album a Sainsbury day release. No.
The Sainsbury one like came and went. I was so like upset because I blinked and that was gone. I've never gone on a Sainsbury's website before until that day. Because why would you? Just pop to the shops, wouldn't you?
Exactly.
But for Kylie Anne, she brought me to the Sainsbury's website. Very disappointed. I was like, God, which regional store still has a copy of this?
Yeah, I mean, look, we were all there. And I mean, that's a whole story for another day. They could have done a Kylie Anne Nectar card. They could have done loads of stuff, but it was Blink and You Miss.
Blink and You Miss wasn't as savvy as Nadine's Tesco collab.
No.
There was no press in the lead up to it. It just happened.
She didn't need to. They all got
Kylie
snapped
Anne.
Up.
It's Fever. Yeah, get into it. Everyone felt the fever then and they're feeling it now still. So, JB, let's give a bit of context. Let's turn the clock back, step back in time, as our dame Kylie would say, 22 years back, all the way to 2001. Miss Kylie was on a Night Like This tour, which started in Europe, 7 nights at the Hammersmith Apollo in London.
Amazing. Still one of the highlights from the episode for me was watching that tour.
Oh my God. I mean, that was a real moment in itself, but that show, that tour, was the first time she ever performed Can't Get You Out of My Head. So love a little bit of teaser there for the fans. This was probably pre-camera phone days.
Yeah, absolutely. 2001, yeah. I'm still shooketh by it because it's such a rare move in the mainstream pop world.
And it didn't leak.
One album cycle, someone's promoting the next single. It's like, you know, that's really rare. And then, as you're saying, yeah, you know, it didn't affect the release of it clearly at all. It only gained it and benefited it.
It was kind of nice for the fans to get like a first preview of that. So really special to have that moment. If you were on a Night Like This tour, you would have experienced that there. That was the biggest selling tour by an Australian female artist at that time.
Just to also say, this really was the year of Kylie Anne Minogue, or the few years. And between that, she had had the last album so successful, Your Disco Needs You at the beginning of 2001, obviously Australian-only release, unfortunately. Huge tour across that year, teasing this single we're about to get into. And then also, May that year, Moulin Rouge drops, featuring a very prominent cameo from our Kylie Anne Minogue.
As the Green Fairy. You know what? Introduce you to rosé, Kylie Wines. Introduce me to absinthe. I mean, I wasn't drinking that stuff as a teenager, let me just clarify. But it didn't make me Google what it was.
Yeah. It was then on his radar. As we were saying, let's go to September 2001 with a song that to this day we still can't get out of our heads. It was the lead single of Fever, Can't Get You Out of My Head.
This song was offered to a myriad of different artists before it even got to Dame Kylie. The demo was first played to Kylie in January 2001 at Parlophone offices here in London. After hearing 20 seconds of it, she was like, yes. She was like, ready to commit, which I loved. Sometimes, you know, you got to go with your gut instincts. And she was just like, uh-huh. Now, even though Kylie was already halfway through writing this yet unnamed album, Can't Get You Out of My Head became that tentpole, that benchmark for the whole project, that everything else she tried to do after that was deliberately to match the quality of Can't Get You Out of My Head. You know what I mean?
Brilliant. Like
the whole album then revolved around that song. That was how powerful and that was how much they all believed in it. JB, who was offered this song first before Kylie? I heard it was Hearsay.
No, I never heard Hearsay.
I heard Hearsay. Someone said Hearsay.
Wow, that is possibly some hearsay.
Who did you? Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
Sophie Ellis-Bextor. Now that I can hear, you can hear this being a song.
I think Sophie has actually said she was offered it.
Yeah, you can hear this being, you know, what Kylie's done with it. You can hear Sophie's take on it. I just can't get you out of my head. You know, it's there.
You know, really like very posh, very British. Also, the fact that she had, when was Groove Jet? 2000.
2000.
So she would have been hot off that. So like the follow-up single, I'm sure the label would have been like, has to be a big hit. So I'm sure they were scouring, but, you know, didn't really connect with her. So she said, she swiped left on this one.
Yeah, she'll do Take Me Home instead, thank God. You know,
which was also great.
Fan-bloody-tastic. But there's a whole other episode on that you can listen to. So the one that I can't get my head around, David,
is
S Club 7.
Now, we understand the relationship.
We
Kathy
understand.
Dennis is managed by 19 Management. She's cameoed in one of S Club 7's TV series. She knows the kids. Can't hear it.
Yeah. So this is written and produced by our queen, Kathy Dennis and Rob Davies. So we understand the relationship here. Something in the wheelhouse of Kathy. She's probably like, I could probably get this to S Club 7. That's going to be a great win for us. I just can't. The only way I can imagine it, obviously an S Club version, I think would sound very different. The only way I can currently get my head around it is if it was a Rachel-led song. I just can't see it working any other way for S Club. I just can't see it suiting Joe. You know, I can't see it suiting like a prominent lead vocalist.
Yeah. No, I totally hear you with that. And also like maybe it would sound more infantile if it was an S Club 7 record. The la, 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 la. You know, it might be a little too kids boppy.
Yeah.
Whereas when Kylie did it, it was like a certain level of like
sexiness.
Sex puss. Glamour puss.
So in a 2011 interview, Davo, our queen Kathy stated, even though Kylie wasn't the first artist to be offered the song, I don't believe anyone else would have done the incredible job she did with it. And Kathy, I completely agree.
No lies detected there. Absolutely not. Now, sonically, the reason why we're still so obsessed with this song, and I'm sure there are many like kind of music theory podcast or like lectures have been done dissecting the kind of DNA of the song.
I'm sure there's a whole university course out there.
There must be a whole university chapter and course dedicated to the breakdown of this song. But the very kind of clean, minimalist, metronomic quality of it, it's just so narcotic. It was so addictive that from the first listen, you're like, what the fuck is this? And I mean, at the time, you know, I was at early high school. So my kind of pop palette wasn't that wide. I really didn't listen to a great variety of music. So for me, this sounds very fresh and very futuristic. But, you know, as time went by, you kind of pick apart the references and it's, very clear that there's a certain nod to the 80s, 80s electronica, like Kraftwerk, that kind of very simple...
Direct.
Direct, because that was the kind of 80s production. And also, like, I love that the nod to Kraftwerk is also represented in the dancers in the music video. You know, the red shirt with a black tie. That is a homage to one of Kraftwerk's album covers or single covers.
There we go.
The people knew what they were doing, the creative directors, Auntie Kathy and team, they knew.
So this song is just so prominent that I genuinely can't recall the first time hearing it or my initial thoughts. You know when it's one of those where it's just, I only recall always knowing this song? Do you remember at all the first time hearing it or your initial thoughts on it?
The video. Definitely through Video Hits, seeing the music video for the first time and hearing the song, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, futuristic. One of my favorite films as a kid was The Fifth Element. So I was
bloody
kind
hell,
of,
taste, David Lynn.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Merci, merci beaucoup. I love anything kind of sci-fi and futuristic. So when I saw this video...
Oh, she's edgy, ladies, gents, non-binary friends.
She's a tastemaker. She's a critic. But yeah, that grabbed me immediately. And also, like, there's something very retro-futuristic about it. Kylie's in this yellow vintage sports car, but then she's flying down the freeway into this, like, futuristic city where it's very white, very minimalist design.
Dawn Shadforth directed this music video. Hats off. I mean, as we talk about, I didn't have Sky, didn't have cable, so I didn't get to see videos in full on the box, etc. It was... the snapshots on CD UK, and you normally get like 30 seconds, like a minute
before
at most.
The performance, yeah.
So it kicked off this era of like Kylie Minogue's in the future and we're all here for it. She got into that yellow car and she drove us into the future.
All our favorite music videos of this time is that kind of futuristic stuff, you know, very abstract. But the way Dawn approached this video has that kind of something that's rooted in the past that I think makes it different for Kylie. And also, like, given that this video would be played alongside like Britney, S Club 7, like, you know, whoever was out, like Jessica Simpson, the girls, like Kylie is a diva who's earned her divaship. You know, she has roots in the 80s. So it kind of made sense to kind of give us a little bit of flavors of the past while mixing in with the futuristic stuff. Like, she's not there in a leather cat suit or something that these young girlies are doing, but her kind of references are more like Grace Jones. Like, you know, that hooded white jumpsuit, that is giving Grace Jones, you know? So she can draw on those references and it makes sense.
Absolutely. And let's speak about that jumpsuit then. So that became huge fashion statement. That was the go-to visual about the song. That was the conversation piece. Everyone was talking about that outfit. Did it feel like that to you as well?
All the stills, everything in all the papers and everything, because I never seen a top that was like cut that low down. I was just like, oh my God, like bare titties. It was just like, it's just a sheath, basically. I think Papa Lim was very worried. He was watching me closely as I was watching this video very closely. It's done by a designer called Fee Doran, who started working with Kylie around this era. And, you know, Grace Jones was an obvious reference point, but also there's an element of the Virgin Mary in this. You know, even when you watch this video closely and you pause the frame, there's a halo-esque glow behind Kylie. So it almost looks like very, like, holy.
Ethereal, like, yeah. I was like, this is really impressive that it's basically quite a white backdrop and then a white outfit, but it's not getting lost in it at all. And I think that glow is what helps separate it. And then when you've got that white outfit and then the contrast with the red outfits from the dancers all just works so well. And then that red lipstick. So they all dot to dot together in that perfect contrast. She's standing out, but it's all popping.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of the dancers, the robotic dance moves, the da da da, you know, the way the arms fold in that really like kind of angular way. I can't remember a time where we've had a Kylie video where she had apart from the locomotion, she had a very signature dance move. But I feel like this was like a signature dance move that all the kids could get into. Yeah. I was definitely picking it up straight away after watching on Video Hits a few times. In this day and age, if she was launching it, it would be like a TikTok challenge, wouldn't it?
Oh,
hashtag
yeah.
La 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 challenge.
Yeah. Do your Kylie. Get your sheets out and
yeah.
recreate it.
Now, do you have a particular favourite outfit off this video?
Well, David Lim, what a great question, because you've actually brought me along to my next note. I feel like we don't talk about the silver dress and the curly hair look enough. Now, that is a slay. That is a slay.
Oh, the one at the end where she's on the rooftop?
Yeah.
Okay. I've actually seen that up front close at the Kylie exhibition in the Art Centre in Melbourne, which I believe that sheet dress must have been there too. But to be honest, I was so overwhelmed with all the different Kylie outfits that the sheet dress, I feel like I've seen it a billion times, that I was kind of like, okay, next. But looking at this dress up front, I didn't realise that they were ribbons. Oh. It's square cut ribbons. They look like kind of metallic armours, don't they?
Like, yeah, sort of like, I just thought it was like a one piece, but like chunky.
No, it's first of all, it's not silver as we all thought. It's actually lilac.
What?
It's just the lighting of it, but it's a lilac Gucci dress.
That's what you tune ribbons. In to Right Back At You for, ladies, gents, non-binary friends. These details, breaking news here on the podcast.
But yeah, I was always so impressed with the way it moved when she was like shimmying her body. Like, I was like, for metallic plates, they do move very well, but it's actually, it's ribbons.
It's lilac bloody ribbons.
I mean, there's going to be way more mind-blowing details about Kylie's costumes in the rest of this episode, I promise you.
We've done our research. I don't know if I can handle it.
Trini and Susanna over here.
What's your favourite look in the video, Davo?
I have to say, that same dress, because I think it's very underrated, because we all talk about the sheath, but that was just elegant, stunning, and also, actually, I will say the white jumpsuit. When she had the ponytail, the kind of cream cropped jumpsuit, I was like, oh, that looks so luxe. Like, actually, that kind of fashion doesn't really date. You could still see that being worn today.
Oh, and that dress that we were just talking about could as well. That curly hair when she just did disco era, like, she could have done that dress. Mm. I think there's one performance of this song that really does come to mind straight away for everyone. It is the Brit Awards 2002. And this isn't just the regular version of Can't Get You Out of My Head. This is the Blue Monday mashup.
Do it as a mashup with New Order's Blue Monday. By this point, you know, this single came out in what, September 2001? We're in February 2002, and everyone knows Can Get You Out of My Head already. So how can you make it feel fresh for a performance? You know, it's the Brits. So it's nice to kind of tie in with like a heritage act and give that kind of nod in a way. And this was just like a perfect reference point.
What a performance, especially what an entrance.
You think about iconic entrances at the Brits. You know, every year when the Brits come around, I feel like we all, the pop-loving community, wheel out a few favourites. It's always Jerry's Bag It Up performance.
Yeah.
It's this one. And also, thank ABBA for the music.
Take a chance, take a chance, take a chance.
Those are the go-tos for us. But what an entrance.
Would you say it's like a huge CD? What would you say that big silver thing is exactly?
So, yeah, it's Kylie coming in. Her entrance is laying down horizontally flat, and then she's being hoisted up on a giant CD player. Like, very off the time, the kids these days probably wouldn't understand what that
absolutely
is and what a vital piece of machinery that is to our music consumption experience. But Kylie really captured a moment in time with that.
And it says Kylie in pink writing behind it. That should have then been mirrored for, like, the official Kylie Minogue Easter egg the following year, or had released a Kylie Fever doll. And then you could have bought that as a set piece to go with it.
And it was instantly iconic, as Adam with an E told us on our This 2002 episode. The bootleg version of this was not sent to Australian radios. They had to create their own version because there was just like such demand for it.
Wow.
The official remix didn't come out for months. And I just thought it was absolutely genius. Like,
so there are also two other fantastic performances that I just want to give a quick shout out to. Hello America, a MTV spring break performance from Kylie Minogue and her dancers with live vocals on the beach on MTV, living the American dream. Absolutely fabulous. And then there was also the 2001 MTV EMAs, where she did a really spectacular performance on that as well. A nice bit. I think it lives in the shadow of the Brit Awards, but it has some really nice like scenery as well, and is an absolute standout performance. Kylie came back hitting strong with this single. She also treated us to two B-sides across the releases.
Ooh, okay. Tell me about your fave and what's standing out.
So my fave is Rendezvous at Sunset. Is an absolute bop, and I feel like I'm in an A&R meeting now. Found this track for you. It's an absolute bop, and it would fit perfectly with early Lisa Scott Lee. It would have fit in really well. The Unleashed era, so lately, Too Far Gone, it would have fit perfectly in with the Mercury album.
Really into that.
And then we also have Boy.
Oh, now this one's a bit of me.
Oh, there we go.
This one's a bit of me. I love a cute, jutting R&B electropop number. It's really interesting because I think sonically this one sounds closer to Slow and the body language body of work.
I thought
maybe
that.
Maybe it's a little bit foreshadowing.
Do you know what, David Lim? I'm so glad you said that, because I was going to put that in my notes of like, this kind of sounds like the next era, but I didn't want to... Look, I'm open to being in a monogamous relationship, but...
You're not ready, not sure if you can commit.
Where I'm a lamb in training, I am also... And this is part of the joy so much of, like, I love our relationship of, I have always had such huge respect for the Minogues, but I'm not off book by any means. So I didn't want to make an outlandish statement like that and look like the dickhead then.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Never be ashamed to speak your mind, as Lindsay would say.
So, David, safe to say, this song was a monumental hit. It faced some stiff competition here in the UK with chart rival that week. Victoria Beckham was also a big contender. Unfortunately, Queen VB didn't get the number one that week. Kylie Ann did get what I guess a lot would say her rightful number one. Not only number one here in the UK, David, this song topped the charts in 40 countries worldwide.
That is insane. So it was number one in every European country except one, Finland, where it was number five. Come on, Finland. What the fuck?
Come on, Finland, you know.
What was going on in Finland? Where was the radio plugger? Where was the PR team there? Where was the street team? Where were the people in monogamous relationships in Finland?
Maybe it was like Finland's answer to Pop Stars and Pop Idol were like at 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, must have been.
And then Kylie Ann in at number 5. And then David, what's so, so, so impressive is that this was a US top 10 hit for Kylie Ann.
Her first top 10 hit in 13 years. Absolute slay.
Number 7 in America on the US Billboard Hot 100. Number 1 on the US Dance Club Songs. That is absolutely phenomenal. And then Australia, number 1 smash hit as well, David.
It Can Get You Out of My Head would go on to sell over 5 million copies worldwide. It is still to this day her best-selling single. No surprise.
Shall we move forward to the 1st of October 2001, where Fever was launched upon us?
Off the strength of that massive global hit, you don't need to wait, do you, JB? Just bring the album out straight away. What you waiting for?
What are you waiting for? Now, before we even talk about the songs, David, shall we talk about the gorgeous imagery?
Look at you holding up that vinyl. Iconic album cover photography. Now, this was once again shot by Vincent Peters, who did the Light Years album shoot. Instead of gorgeous Ibiza for the last album, this time it was shot in a plain white studio wall in Kensal Rise in London. Kylie's creative director, William Baker, who is obviously, for those in the fandom know, very key to her image making and her career. He wanted to infuse some of Grace Jones' more kind of like confrontational allure to Kylie's brand. For those of you who know Grace Jones's album cover, I think it's Island Life, the one where she has her legs spread out and her arms out in a kind of like a very gymnastic pose, holding the microphone with a cord. That sort of is a reference point for this image, which I love. JB, there's a very incredible story in Kylie's La 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 book, which is written by William Baker and her. On the day of this album shoot, P. Diddy, aka Puffy, or whatever he goes by now, was in the studio upstairs with a huge entourage, like lots of burly blokes, security guys. And the photographer decided to take Kylie out into the pouring rain to soak her through in a white t-shirt for that kind of sexy white t-shirt look. And then suddenly the mobile phones on all of Diddy's minders started ringing, and they all had to suddenly go outside to get better signal for phone calls and no doubt get a better view of Kylie's nipples as her dress became see-through.
That is shocking. That is shocking. Also, our Dame Kylie Ann's going to catch cold with that.
I know, but anything for the art, darling. She gets it.
And then what I love is this image here.
Ooh, okay. That was not on the back of the CD. That was an inside. Yeah, sitting down, but with a cord wrapped around her legs and her body. Oh.
Yeah, kneeled on the floor, but very sexy. And yeah, the microphone wire all wrapped around her. There's also a Paris Hilton image that's quite similar. I want to say it's David LaChapelle, but don't quote me on that. And then last but not least from me image-wise, this album had a different cover in America. Did you see that in your research?
So this is like a close-up of Kylie's face with her hands lifting her necklace up to her lips, sort of tenderly almost biting the necklace in a seductive way. I believe from memory, this image was used as one of the single covers for In Your Eyes.
Like here in the UK, Europe, Australia, Kylie's so known. And this silhouette, you're like, wow, Kylie. But I guess if she's having a reintroduction to America, you want a close-up of the face. What I want to give a shout-out to first, unlike Kylie's previous albums, Fever does not contain any ballads. And honestly, gay rights.
One or two sort of ballads, mid-tempos, would you say?
I would say they're mid-tempos, they are not ballads.
An incredible handful of pop hit makers were on board making this album with Kylie. And I like that it was literally just a handful of people. So it made it a very cohesive album. Kylie herself had a hand in co-writing several of the songs, which is always very lovely to see. I mean, I would hold this body of work up as a quintessential 2000s disco pop record for me. You know, we talk a lot about Y2K disco and how much we love this genre at this time. You know, like S Club Juniors was doing it. Sophie Ellis-Bextor was doing it with her first album as well. And I think it's really interesting that, you know how a few years ago during lockdown, we sort of saw Dua Lipa's Future Nostalgia come out. And it kind of made me think how we have these waves of disco pop revival, right?
Yeah.
And they usually come at a time where there's incredible hardship or pain in the world that kind of brings disco, that just disco music just hits different when there's like this backdrop of just chaos and madness in the world. Like Fever arrived in a backdrop of 9/11.
Yeah.
And then Future Nostalgia came during the global pandemic. So I find it just so interesting that two decades on, we're having sort of...
I mean, it goes hand in hand with, you know, the origin stories of, you know, actual disco. You know, Nile Rodgers has said many a times, you know, the world wasn't in a good place. And Chic released songs like Good Times when people are like, you can't do that. But they're trying to put like fun into the world because it wasn't good times. So they're, you know, they're singing that these are because that's what they're giving to the world. And boy, we're the first to say and admit that we need that more than anything. You know, music, first and foremost, is escapism for us. And that's why we love it so much and so dearly. So let's get into it. I'm going to kick things off on my end with the titular track. We've got Fever. Now here, while I would say this whole album and body of work is a very mature, sophisticated approach to disco pop, while still being hugely fun disco pop, Fever, I would say, is still camp and fabulous. It's the closest maybe to Light Years, really, that vibe of that era.
It's dead cheeky.
Dead cheeky, and I'm just like, yeah, I've got the fever.
Doctor, shall I remove my clothes? It's like,
oh. Kylie. It's like, I know what, this might be my first and only time I'll say it in a complimentary way. It's a bit panto-y.
I think I know what
like
you're talking
telling
about.
The story, like, Doctor, shall I remove my clothes? And
I mean, that performance, we're going to talk about an audience with Kylie, but that performance of Fever there, it is pure panto. You know, the stretchers, the kind of like undressing behind the hospital curtains.
Yeah. It's like Kylie's doing step stomp, you know, at GAY.
But we love a bit of cheekiness.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Which is why I had to kick off with that. And, you know, this is the Fever episode.
Absolutely. Absolutely with you there on that one. So another one I want to give a shout out to is Love Affair. Ooh, now, this one I feel could have been a fifth single. A brilliant holiday hookup anthem. We've all been there. We've all experienced that sensation.
Hello, boys, if you're listening.
Bonjour. Hola. Ciao, bello.
There's a man in every country.
Love that lyric. I'm only here for a little while. Would you like to take me out tonight? The night is young, but isn't long, if you know what I mean.
Wink.
Kylie.
Your mum's listening, Kylie. What would Carol say? Don't. No one explain it to Ron. No one.
No one tell Ron about this track. Hide it. Oh my God. Imagine when Ron gets to nudity on the X album. Oh Lord.
You know, there was a point where I just said, Kylie, I'm proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I'm going to, you know, some, you know, Carol says, we'll just skip that one and I won't ask any questions. I think, again, so I know I was saying that about the last track, but this really is, as you were saying, night out on holiday. And it feels almost dangerous, doesn't it?
Oh, no, we all know that feeling where it's like you're at that point in the night where you're ready to risk it all for a minute. And it's this is that essence in this song. Also, I think it pairs really nicely with Please Stay from the last album.
Yes.
Again, done by the same people. Kylie wrote this with Richard Biff Stanner and Julian Gallagher. You know, that kind of nocturnal kind of, like a Mediterranean holiday love affair song.
Yeah, which, if anyone remembers, Please Stay was my favourite on the last album. Let's get to Why Two Kylie. It's really a continuation from Light Years. Give It To Me.
Oh, okay. You're picking the ones that I'm just like, I don't know. I really wasn't expecting that at all.
Well, look, it's the light and shade, isn't it, of the poddo. The thing about Fever is it is so consistent, but there's a lot of light and shade within it.
It's playful. I think vocally you go from like a Love Affair or Give It To Me has quite a soulful R&B kind of vocal style. Like she's really like growling.
Yes. It sounds like dial-up internet going on. Like that's what I need from a 2000s.
Very, very off the time. And this is another Kylie Ann co-write, and she co-wrote this with Steve Anderson, her music director and longtime collaborator. So love to see that for Uncle Steve.
Yes, and we are big fans of Steve. So good on you, Steve. There's a lot of like 80s soul, disco, 70s tones within there, but not in a way at all of like, this is an 80s artist. It's still so fresh and prominent for the early 2000s, but you can tell there's the roots of it there that's then really brought forward into a great way.
I can actually hear Christina Aguilera doing this. Give it to me like I want it.
All right, Kylie, Steve, you know what you need to do. Just get it in Kagi Aggie's inbox. Just try ixtine@gmail.com. Try c_Aguilera7@gmail.com. Let's just get it to her. All right, Davo, what else you got from us? What else has got you feeling the fever?
I'm going to go with a gorgeous ballad, or as the JB would say, a mid-tempo that came bang in the middle of the album, Fragile.
Okay. Sun setting on the beach. I'm having my final cocktail before starting my night of hard liquor or whatever.
This is like the bit of the album where it's like, grab that glass of water, have a sit down or head outside the club to cool down in the night air. It's written and produced by Rob Davis. Fragile. I love this because it describes the feeling of when you're so overwhelmed by emotions about someone. Shake and sweat, wipe my brow, scared of what's to come, lie awake, toss and turn. Am I the only one? It's like anxiety, but make it sexy.
I mean, what a top line. What's the brief? Anxiety, but sexy. Got it.
Yeah, panic attack, feeling overwhelmed by some bloke, and just make it sexy.
My God, that song's going to be our new anthem, isn't it, Davo?
I just love that it's a kind of nice thematical continuation from Can Get You Out of My Head, because that song is really about obsession. And this is the next phase where it's like, okay, that bloke is like getting a little deeper into my thoughts. I'm now like really having feelings about it. And I'm a bit scared of, you know, I feel very fragile when I'm this vulnerable in love. Love it.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So thank you for that, David. I think we need to take a real gear shift for a standout from the JB. She is the dance floor darling. So we've got to give a shout out to dance floor. If you think you've got me, boy, just watch me. Kylie Ann really was at the forefront of the early 2000s disco pop boom, but she's doing it in, as you were saying, you know, yes, S Club Juniors were doing it, Atomic Kitten were doing it, but Kylie Ann's doing it in a more mature way than the other songs in the genre. You know, it's just that little bit more, you know, the voom, the
that Kylie Rose is kicking in, I see. But also, it is lyrically a more mature song. This is basically the origin story of that famous Kylie lyric in Get Out of My Way. This is what will happen if you ain't giving your girl what she needs. Like, that is the whole theme of this song, you know? Watch me on the dance floor, switching it up. You know,
good girl.
You're going to regret letting me out of your hands.
Good girl, Kylie. All right. What else you got, Davo?
JB, I'm going to give a shout out to the Australian bonus track, Tightrope.
Not a Stephanie McIntosh cover.
Sadly. Now, this one is a B-side on In Your Eyes in other territories. Kylie co-wrote this with Pascal Gabriel, who has written for Dido, Sophie Ellis Bextor and all that. So once again, great pop pedigree here. There's so much I want to share. For so long I've been too scared. absolutely love this breezy, tender ballad. You know, it's very like driving in the nighttime, windows down, full moon in the sky. You're sort of driving to your lover's house for a little midnight rendezvous.
A rendezvous. Yeah, it's an absolutely fantastic song. And what I love about this whole era is that we really have got so many B-sides and extra songs. And they're all brilliant. And you can hear why they aren't necessarily on Fever, because they a slightly different vibes, but they're all fantastic. So was that track on the edition that you had?
Yeah, in Australia, yeah.
So you'd always consider it, like, to you, that is the closer of the album.
Part of the album, yeah, absolutely. Also, like, this is kind of my favourite kind of love song, the kind that sort of are about being on the precipice of love. You know, I live for the chase, the thrill of something more. And this is that kind of song, you know, there's so much I want to share. For so long, I've been too scared to show the way I feel for you, but I know what I have to do. So I'm just going to say it. Love is like a game and I'm going to play it. I hope you feel the same. I was like, oh, Kylie, yes.
Brilliant. Go for it, Kylie.
Go for it, Kylie. Take a risk.
All right. What else you got, Davo?
Now, JB, a special shout out to the special edition reissue of Fever.
Not the end of disc two by chance.
End of disc two. The one original new song that she gave us in that bonus disc, Whenever You Feel Like It, which was on a Scooby-Doo movie soundtrack.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. I remember that sort of being a thing, and then there was no video for it.
Bloody hell, Kylie. You march to the beat of your own drum, yeah. Come on.
I love listening to this. And also, I think at this time, Atomic Kitten's Feel So Good album came out. And it was part of the narrative. Was like, oh, Kylie gave us the song, the title track, Feel So Good. And I can hear Feel So Good and Whenever You Feel Like It together pairing very well.
We need it.
They're sister tracks. So it's just like what we were saying, there's so many gems from the Fever sessions that worked its way into B-sides, bonus tracks, and, you know, even finding their way to other artists. This is just pure fun.
This has that real 80s in the 2000s way, but not at all of like, ugh, 80s trying to rehash. It's just like the tones are there when you listen to it. What I think is kind of wild is that the US version, Devo, ends with Butterfly from Light Years. Now, they are really ending it with something dead edgy for the American market.
I love that someone there believed in it. Maybe it's Kylie, maybe it's management, really believed in it, and it could get like a second life in the US as part of that release there.
Yeah.
Fair play. I mean, to be honest, I'm glad they didn't fuck with the body of work with Fever, because you know what it's like? Sometimes a US release is like a hybrid. Loathe it. They did that with Our Delta. Absolutely unacceptable.
When I was doing the research, I was like, have they?
Don't butcher this body of work. Yeah.
Let's talk about chart positions for this album. Here in the United Kingdom, number one smash hit. In Australia, another number one smash hit.
Now, JB, this album was the best-selling dance album in Australia in 2001 and 2002, and it became the top five best-selling album overall in Australia for those 2 years.
Brilliant.
What's wild is, at this point in Kylie's career, this was only her second number one album in Australia. Light Years was her first Aussie number one. Can you imagine all those peak years? Her first album, her debut album, the really massive one, number two there.
Number one in Ireland. Thank you, Ireland. That's brilliant. Number one on the Scottish album charts. Have not let us down. Number one on the European album charts. 10 in Canada, which is absolutely fantastic. And what is phenomenal, David and Lynn, is number three on the US Billboard 200. Number three.
That is massive. You know, for Kylie, who has not had a US presence since the 80s, you know, this is only Kylie's third album to be released in the US. So Capitol Records took Fever, released in February 2002. became Kylie's best charting album there, selling 115,000 copies in the first week.
Like, that is huge. And that's why it's, like, I find it odd when people, like, either media or whatever, or what we'll talk about in a way, is like, oh, she didn't quite crack America. I'm like, number three, 115,000 copies in the first week is massive.
It's so funny. Before we started recording, I saw a TikTok of, like, this American gay, like, lecturing his friend about Can't Get You Out of My Head, basically being like, you know, how do you not know this? This was iconic.
This is a classic.
I like the song.
This is ahead of its time.
Her dress?
Her dress! You will never be that skinny or iconic. Look at her Bad Romance. That's Bad Romance right there. Ahead of its time. Look at that. Ha!
It's just like basically any of us in any conversation trying to like defend or introduce a pop star to someone who doesn't know, like just full volume shouting, clapping to punctuate the point.
Well done, good on you. So speaking of all that Australian success, David, at the 2002 ARIA Music Awards, Can't Get You Out of My Head won Single of the Year and Highest Selling Single, and Kylie Anne won Outstanding Achievement Award. Like, that is absolutely deserved.
So Kylie at the ARIAs was also nominated for Album of the Year, but she lost to Kacey Chambers, a country rock singer-songwriter. I mean, to be fair, that Kacey Chambers album was huge, but looking at the other nominees, Kylie was the only pop album, like pure pop album. So she really was flying the flag for Aussie pop there. And you know, we've spoken about it many times when we cover Australian artists. Like, it's really not a climate or landscape that really super supports pop music. It's always been seen by Australian media as less credible. So I appreciate the uphill battle this must have been for all our Aussie pop stars. But for Dame Kylie, that success internationally, especially here in the UK, was just like, just set the template. That was like, bitch, you better care. Give me my fucking flowers.
I've had just had a top three in America.
Yeah, so how are you not giving me Outstanding Achievement Award? She's too humble to say, but we'll say it.
In the UK, we had this show called Points of View on BBC, where people could write in and complain about things on TV.
Did you have an Australian version? People don't do that, surely.
Oh, yeah, they do.
No one ever does
that. Yeah, they love to have a little moan and complain. The Australian version, you, I am outraged at the ARIA Awards.
And then they have to read out, like, David Lim, Melbourne, and then the age is, like, 14.
And just a picture of you looking sad.
Yeah, with my copy of Fever.
So, also, in the Brit Awards, David, Kylie Anne won Best International Album.
She won Best International Female Solo Artist.
And she won it. She won that. Yeah. And she was nominated for Best Pop Act, which is phenomenal. At the 2002 MTV Europe Awards, she was nominated for Best Album and Best Female Act, Best Dance Act, Best Pop Act. And she actually won Best Dance Act and Best Pop Act. So,
Queen.
Thriving.
Queen of Dance.
Thriving. David, let's take a slight pause of talking about music releases and let's just talk for a hot second about in the 90s and noughties, a real rite of passage if you were the who's who in the UK. An audience with dot, dot, dot. And in this incarnation, it was an audience with Kylie Minogue.
I don't think I've ever seen this in full before. Like, I know certain parts of the performances because I've seen them as clips, but I didn't compute that it was all part of this special.
I remember watching this when it was on. Like, this was priority viewing. And I wasn't even monogamous, but it was still priority television.
The whole family sat down together to watch it? Oh my God. Well, you must have been, your family must have been one of 8 million people in the UK who tuned in to watch this. Like 8 million.
Just to give everyone the visual, the setup is, yes, the Babingtons, but it was a case of my mum is ironing. She's standing in the corner ironing, watching it.
Always working, Wendy.
And then it's the rest of us sitting watching, just taking it all in. What's amazing about these, an audience with, it is like the who's who of iconic huns of the time in the audience. And you literally have cutaways of our Tracy Shaw, Rear of the Year Tracy Shaw. Did you recognise her?
I I'm, you know, we did our episode on Soapstars to Pop Stars, and I recognize Claire Sweeney, but there was another girlie there that I thought could possibly be Tracy.
Oh, Tracy. And it was. Sure. Oh, I've never been. Oh, I'm so proud. Even that you just recognize Claire like that. Oh,
yeah.
Well done, David. My work here is done.
Jennifer Ellison,
a bunch of the Hollyoaks girlies at the time.
Cat Deeley,
Queen. Brian Downing.
Oh, yeah, Brian Downing. Yeah, very off the time. Big Brother fame. Pete Waterman was there. Boy George. Obviously, the VIPs, Brendan and Danny Minogue.
Oh, I loved that.
Kylie was just like, oh, I'm so happy that I miss my family back home, but I'm really happy that my brother and sister can be here today. My sister's so busy with her schedule, and Brendan made me a really lovely breakfast this morning. I was like, oh my God, bless them.
Wow. We just need a documentary of that day. And also shout out to my other favourite Big Brother girlie, Helen, who came second to
She the
Ryan.
One with like the diamante choker.
Blonde hair.
She had a few words in that. She looked like an absolute hun. I was like, I don't know who she is, but I bet she's a reality TV star. Like, she's way too overdressed and glam for that show.
Which I feel would be us.
Yeah. You know, you want to like still focus a little.
Did you have any favourite moments from taking it all in today, Devo?
Especially for you, duet with Kermit the Frog.
Oh my God. Not everybody has that.
Literally, that is difficult to get. Not everybody has that.
Actual Kermit. Kermit's booked and busy. I'm sure she had to jump through so many hoops to get that. But they're like, Kylie needs Kermit. Absolutely. I mean, bless Jason. It was just pre the resurgence of Jason Donovan. And as we know, it's Kermit.
It's Kermit, bitch. Yeah.
It's Kermit, bitch. The Muppets do Britney.
What about you? What highlights for you?
The audience in the room, I don't think, were quite ready. So Kylie did, which we alluded to earlier, her camp as tits performance of Fever, which I absolutely loved and was a huge standout for me. Imagine Steps Chain Reaction late night at GAY.
I also, apart from that campy performance of Fever, which I deeply enjoyed, I also loved Better the Devil You Know, done big band swing style with the one and only hottie Adam Garcia of Coyote Ugly fame, but also obviously musicals and just being great.
And his
that little
tape.
Tap dance he did with Kylie. I mean, can you imagine the amount of rehearsals would take for this? Stunning. They were so good together. Like, and also just her letting Adam have his moment to shine and do his dance while she's singing in the corner.
So yeah, iconic. I really think they need to be re-airing it. If I've missed a re-airing or it's coming up, DM us, let us know, because I want to watch it live. I want to watch it live on television.
And we want to be able to tweet along to it. Imagine like that community, us on Twitter, just going off, enjoying it.
Oh, amazing.
Maybe for the Fever anniversary, whenever that is, let's make it happen, guys. Come on, ITV.
Come on, ITV. Come on, ITVX. Fabulous. Let's move on, David, to New Year.
January 2002, we have the second single from Fever, In Your Eyes. So I think what's really great is that, you know, Can't Get You Out of My Head is still riding high all over Europe. But things like An Audience with Kylie, she was teasing performances from the album, including In Your Eyes, which I feel like that must have been the first time on TV she's performed that song. Mm. And people were getting into it. And the choreo was incredible. The live vocals were great. So we kind of know what is coming up next. And it's still in this gorgeous Y2K disco pop vein. And I love that In Your Eyes has this cute lyrical wink to spinning around. Is the world still spinning around? It's kind of like, have you not caught up yet with my latest work? Are you still hung up on spinning around?
So shall we talk about this excellent music video? So directed by Dawn Shadforth, it was envisioned as a science fiction extension of Can't Get You Out of My Head. I love the contrast of it's a black studio, but the use of these lighting of the different colors is so, so strong and just absolutely pops.
Also, the fact that the song is called In Your Eyes, they do play with your vision a little deliberately. The screens in the background creating this sort of flare. The vision of Kylie and the dancers are not super clean or super straight on. Like, there are glitches. So it really, like, feels like you're having a bit of an optical illusion moment here.
It's really interesting that you say that, because in my notes, I'm like, this needs to be an immersive club night.
3D glasses, maybe.
Oh, bloody hell.
Oh, my God. After a few drinks, darling. After a few Kylie wines, that might be potentially dangerous.
When the minerals hit.
Shall we talk about chart positions? Because, JB, this was, I mean, thanks to me going to HMV to get my copy. Debuted at number one in Australia. Thank you very much. Number three in the UK. What were you thinking, Joel?
I didn't go to Woolies that week. Look, I wasn't monogamous, I told you. But I'm here now. I bought two copies of the vinyl. What more do you want? Number 18 in New Zealand. Now, New Zealand, what were you thinking? Come on, guys.
They need to be pulled up on that. We need to have a chat. Yeah.
HR of New Zealand. Two in the Czech Republic. We love to see that. One in Romania. Thank you.
Thank you, Seb.
Thank you, Seb.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Look, we need to ask our friend Seb how prominent this was. I mean, obviously a number one hit there.
His world was still spinning around. I mean, I think our worlds are all still are spinning around in the best way. So shall we talk about the Kylie Fever 2002 tour, April till August 2002?
Now, what a time it is in Planet Kylie. Obviously, huge album, huge singles. There were no chart positions read for In Your Eyes in the US because it wasn't released as a single there. It's very interesting because I feel like at this time, Can't Get You Out of My Head was so big in America. The album was coming out there. She could have possibly used this time to tour the US and focus on promo there. We know from our other episodes of talking about artists breaking the US, like, it's really... it is a big time commitment. Like, you really have to spend at least a few months there doing all the rounds of going to all the different radio stations and, you know, kissing ass everywhere to have that kind of support. And the kind of vibe at this time wasn't that Kylie wanted to spend more time capitalizing on it. She gave a very honest interview with Billboard magazine at this time about how she sees her prospect of finally breaking America. So I'll read you her quote. "It's like when you fancy somebody at school. The minute you stop fancying that person is when that person starts to fancy you. That's how I feel about the US. I don't know if I have the drive and enthusiasm to break America. Quite honestly, I don't feel the need to have to tell people how to say my name or discuss the locomotion. Up until now, I've resigned my fact to the fact that America wouldn't be like the rest of the world for me. I'm anonymous there, which I must confess, I kind of like. I always did fall up on my US thoughts, though, with the knowledge that if I did have a runaway hit, it would be rude of me to not go and do what needs to be done. I guess I'm nervous that it might actually happen this time. You could say the pressure is on." And then Kylie goes on to talk about this tour that is kicking off in Europe and Australia. "If I didn't have such a ridiculous schedule, I think I would have been even more stressed because then I actually could spend more time in the US. And then she said she's not sure how bringing, you know, when we're on the subject of tour, people would be like, oh, would you then add US dates to this tour? She said, "It is such a fan-based show. I don't know what Americans, most of whom don't know my material, would think. Except for the gay community in the US, I'm not sure who really knows my songs."
Wow.
Honest queen.
I love that. It's like, it's so...
she's earned her divaship.
Everything's there in that quote.
Yeah.
Everything's there. I would have just been running straight there. 6 months pushing everything, lost all my international fans and flopped in America. So, like, would have just been dead on arrival everywhere. Whereas Kylie was real, like,
savvy,
very intelligent and savvy there. And obviously it's not as easy as would you add US dates, because what we're about to talk about is such a big tour Whereas in that stage, the US version would have to be such a pared down version of the show. She'd be doing, you know, House of Blues type venues, I'm sure. And probably like two dancers and some lighting, whereas this is not what this tour is.
No, absolutely not. It would have been a real step down. And also, like, how do you service the gay community fans in the US by giving them a good show that they deserve and have waited a long time for, with the kind of cost of bringing all that over for not really that many opportunities and dates and venues? So it is a little bit of a tough one. But obviously, a few years later into the noughties, Kylie does tour properly in America. So
2009, Kylie in USA.
Yeah, they had to wait a long time. So JB, shall we talk about the Fever 2002 tour that hit everywhere else but the US? Sorry, America.
This was Kylie Ann's first tour to have sponsors, which were Evian and Vodafone. Sponsors Evian gave away free bottles of water, where the branding Evian was replaced with Kylie. Google Kylie Evian. You can spend ridiculous amounts of money on old bottles of water. And like, the bottles are like, still have water in. And it's like, you know, when a water bottle goes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, look, I'd buy merch, but I'm not spending loads of money on that. Come on now. Lovely follower, Minogue Collection. I want to know if you've got Evian Kylie in your collection. We need to see if you do. And any Minogue fans listening, follow
that. Yeah, let's not
Minogue
embarrass
collection.
Them if they don't have it. Now, JB, this tour is state of the art of the time. Dolce & Gabbana did all of Kylie's custom looks on this tour. I have to give a shout out to the very first outfit that she popped up in, the Kyborg, that robot outfit with metallic panels.
Is that the official word of it, or that's what you just came up with?
That's been what is described in a book. Yeah, Kyborg.
Right.
And how each panel lifts one at a time and slowly lets Kylie out. We would see Beyonce go on to copy this concept for her BET performance of Get Me Bodied 5 years later. So just saying, B, we see you.
We've got the receipts, B.
We've got the receipts here.
So I love this look as well. To me, I love that Kyborg. That's genius. To me, it's giving like big final level boss in a computer game. Like, coming through the floor. Hello. Like, this is such a huge splashy tour. And I love also in the intro segment, you have that brief of the heels are alive, which is a nod from the Moulin Rouge.
Oh, yes. Oh, I didn't even
cameo.
Think about that.
Come on, you call yourself monogamous.
Says him as he pours himself another glass of Kylie wine to congratulate himself. I did think it was a strange inclusion, but now that you've said it, it makes sense.
When you're in a big feature film, you've got to get it out there, you know? So let's just jump off like highlights of the show. So the first highlight for me is Spinning Around. Everyone knows how much I love this song. Such an interesting, like, I love this new version of the song that's in the show. I love the Kate earring. And I love that it's almost like a 2001 pop hip hop look from Kylie.
It is, but also, like, again, we've been saying this throughout, the nods to the 80s is so strong. I feel like the hat and the braids is giving Boy George, you know, the white jumpsuit, all that. It just feels like a nod to the 80s in some way.
So a little bit on from there, when Kylie Ann sings Confide in Me.
Oh, this is a highlight for me. I always love this song when she does it on tour, because we've had so many tours since, right? Every time it's done in like a different way that feels really appropriate to the show, but also like fresh if you've seen it many times before. I will never get tired of Confide in Me. I think it's one of Kylie's best songs, but the way that this was part of the street style section is probably not something you would expect. You know, they had the hip hop DJ scratchings in the beginning and then it goes into just the song. But that sort of parallel where Kylie comes out in a tight, sexy policewoman outfit and she's having a face-off with this young male dancer that's sort of, quote-unquote, the delinquent, you know. He's seen at the start of the performance spray-painting a giant K on the LED screen, which in itself is geniusly choreographed.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I thought the police person look was so bloody fabulous.
Also, like, it's maybe a nod to George Michael's Outside. let's give sexy police woman vibes. Yeah.
But speaking of sexy, there was Act 5, which is called Sex in Venice. Now, this really was sexy and fabulous.
What I love about this section is, especially with In Your Eyes, we're seeing the sexy male dancers in tights and heels in flamenco skirts dancing together. Like in 2002, as a mainstream pop star like Kylie that really attracts a wide demographic, you know, she was really pushing it a little bit further and making sure that gender fluidity and the queer community's essence was being represented on stage.
Yeah. Amongst all the dancers dancing together in partner work, there's a gay couple. There's two men dancing together doing the same suggestive choreography as the boys and the girls are doing. And yeah, of course. Why wouldn't it be there? Chef's kiss. Good on you, Kylie Ann.
Now, also worth mentioning is Burning Up in the Showgirl Tour. She does this as a mashup with Madonna's Vogue.
Wow.
I know. I mean, this is an album track that we didn't talk about before, but I love the kind of mutual love between Kylie and Madonna here.
Yeah.
2005, Madonna wore a t-shirt on stage that said Kylie Minogue written in the front. She wrote a very heartfelt sentiment, sending her love to Kylie when Kylie was diagnosed with breast cancer. Rebel Heart Tour. She sang a little bit of Can't Get You Out of My Head in Brisbane.
Oh, wow. I feel like we're due a proper Kylie and Madonna moment at some point.
You know, they did meet. They've met a few times, it seems. But one moment that could have been the photo moment was at the Met Gala a few years before. Like, Kylie tells a story that Madonna's then boyfriend or partner or whatever accidentally blocked her from the photographer's view, so they didn't get a clear shot of Kylie and Madonna having a chat, and that moment was just gone in history.
What prick.
Step the fuck out of the way.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. I mean, what a show. So yeah, luckily the Manchester show was filmed and put not only on MSN but on DVD entitled Kylie Fever Tour 2002 Live in Manchester. The DVD was certified platinum in Canada, gold in Germany, double platinum here in the UK.
What about Australia? So, that would have been like surely triple platinum in Australia. There's no stats for that?
Two times platinum in Australia. While Kylie's on tour and all that's going on, let's pick up in June 2002 with Love at First Sight. Third single from the album worldwide, second single in North America.
JB, now I would say this is a classic, and a lot of people would probably say this is Kylie's best song.
Wow. All right. Wouldn't deny that. Wouldn't deny that. Yes, it's an absolute classic. I don't know. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to say what the best song is. Nowhere near ready, but I respect that opinion.
I think it's a strong contender for one of Kylie's best songs ever.
Do you know what your favorite Kylie song ever is, or what you think is definitively the best song ever?
I think this will be in the top three somewhere.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I really do think this is amazing. But it's so hard because I, as per my playlist, I have a Y2K Kylie onwards, like 2000s Kylie onwards playlist, and then I have vintage Kylie. So I would find it hard to do a definitive list that combines both, because I see her in such separate sections, you know?
Yeah.
80s and 90s Kylie is like different to me. Let us know, guys. You're listening right now. You're on your phone scrolling. Head to Right Back Pod on our socials. Leave it in the comments. What's your favorite Kylie Ann, or you think is the best Kylie Ann Minogue song? Yeah.
And is it this?
Is it this? Please, yeah.
Let's find out.
Joe, I absolutely am obsessed with this single artwork, CD1, CD2 for Love at First Sight. And I, for years, couldn't figure out where it was from because it wasn't part of the album shoot with a white backdrop and a white top and the see-through T-shirt.
Situ. Oh, Intimate Kylie, David. Come on, everyone knows that.
Stop it. We only know it because our good friend Eliza Day from This Is Disco, we did our 2002 episode and she mentioned, and I was shook, that this is shot by Nick Knight and these were the outtakes from the Love Kylie lingerie shoot. And it just looks like Kylie's like sexy in a sauna. I mean, that's what I think I look like at Sweatbox, but I can't be sure.
Yeah, you'd know a thing or two about that, darling, wouldn't you?
It's the kind of like blurriness, like where her arms and elbows are, that's kind of giving me like steamy, you know, like steam room vibes. But
yeah. Britney in the Womanizer video.
So JB, I did not know until like maybe in the last year that there was a CD2 with a different cover art, and that's basically a close-up of Kylie's face with a red tint over it, and I had to have it. I went on eBay and I bought it immediately.
Also, I'm going to put this out as a PSA. Lovely, lovely, gorgeous listeners. If you're throwing away CD singles, can you, or albums or any pop merch, can you let DL know first, because he might want them. If you're not already following at Lovely Me, he puts up these gorgeous displays of singles, albums. Do let David know, because he might want to snatch up. He might give it a great home. He puts the whore in hoarder.
So yeah, back to the steam room and Kylie.
Yeah. This is nearly a year after the album's out. And do you know what I love? Each single, even though they're on the album and the album's out, they feel like fresh individual moments that are part of a greater body of work. Do you remember how this was perceived in Australia?
Oh my God, because the success of Kylie was so big already off the back of Can't Get You Out of My Head. And then around the time of this third single coming out, there was like a lot of buzz of her breaking America. So musically, this was the one made me get off the couch and go to Kmart and buy the album. I was so taken by that kind of French house sound that they were incorporating here. It was kind of like Daft Punk, but being brought into Kylie's universe.
What I want to say, Davo, is that there's a US radio edit, isn't there?
Okay, tell me what you think.
I like it. I think it gets it going. I think it makes it more 80s sounding.
Oh, which, there's a reason why I don't like it. I'm really sorry, but like this rough and jam US radio mix, I remember like seeing the clip of her performing it at TRL in America, and I was just like, okay, I love that she's performing it there. She sounds good. The dancers look great. The kids are like having a real vibe.
I just thought it really came alive. I liked hearing the US version performed live. That kind of put all the pieces together for me. Yes, when it comes on the album, on streaming, I kind of skip it by the time it gets to there. But I think performing it live adds a kind of fun element.
It does. I think I kind of resent the fact that maybe some decisions to make it a retro 80s flavor is rooted in Kylie being an 80s hit artist. Like, I kind of resented that because I thought the French house sound of the original was quite cool, but maybe it was just too Euro sounding for American radio. You know, they need a little bit more vitality, a bit more like dun, 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 dun. Like, they need it to be a bit bouncier. So, I mean, I don't hate it. Like, if it comes on, I'll leave it on. But, like, it just doesn't have the kind of cool element of the original.
Shall we talk about this incredible music video? This music video, directed by Johan Renck, well, it was shot in Dublin, May 2002, and it took 2 days to shoot because it was perceived as one continuous shot. We really do need a Night of a Thousand Minogues.
Like, we do.
Love the Kate earring, obviously.
I love that it's so casual, but it's super subtle in the way it's so well styled. You know, we've got Kylie in cargo trousers, a white tank top, orange bracelet that matches the orange thong peeking from the top of the trousers. Very cheeky. The blue eyeshadow, which is a complementary color of orange. It feels like Kylie is giving very youthful festival girly. The choreography was like super iconic as well. You've got the K with the arms going like in the shape of a K. So brilliant. Simple. But then the rest of it is not overly rehearsed for her. It's more her freestyling, vibing as she would on a dance floor, as she would at a festival. You know, it's very free-flowing.
Free-flowing Kylie. Free-flowing Kylie Wine. That's my kind of brunch. Invite me. This song, David, it had commercial success worldwide. In your home country, in Australia, it peaked at number 3 on the ARIAs. Here in the UK, it peaked at number 2. Did you buy this one? No, but it made you buy the album.
It felt like, even though this was a number 3, it felt like a number 1 single for a very long time. I can't believe it's only certified gold and not platinum. But again, maybe the rest of us went and bought the album.
Really, really, really impressively, 23 on the US Billboard Hot 100. Like, that is absolutely phenomenal.
That TRL performance paid off.
Paid off. And number 1 on the US Dance Club Songs. Not everybody has that. Number 2 in Scotland, 7 in Spain, 3 in Romania. Thank you, Seb. 9 in New Zealand. Much better, New Zealand. Thank you.
The only main singles chart I've seen this go number 1 with is in Greece. Now, JB, Love at First Sight earned Kylie her very first Grammy nomination for Best Dance Recording at the 2003 ceremony. Sadly, Kylie lost to Dirty Vegas, some British electronic band.
Don't know who that is, but sure.
Anyway, we will get a redemption moment with Le Grammy. With
no spoilers. Shall we get to the last single of the Fever album? It's Come Into My World on the 4th of November, 2002. She's got Kathy Dennis and Rob Davis back again, the co-writers of Can't Get You Out of My Head, to bookend the era.
I messaged you earlier about the original version of this song.
The vocals, I feel, the audio mix is a bit different with the vocals.
So I think what they've done is taken the album version and made it like a 3D version. So there's more instrumentation. The mix is different, as you say, but also Kylie's vocals on this is different. Like, the single mix is breathier.
Oh, it's interesting because I felt like I could hear all the vocals more on the album version compared to the single version.
Yeah, same. But basically, I think it's a different vocal on the single version because she's more breathy. Like, I feel like they've layered it a little bit more. And it's just like, did we need her to sound this breathy in the single mix?
This had a fabulous music video to coincide with it.
Oh, one of Kylie's most iconic videos.
Yeah, so directed by Michelle Gondry. We've got Kylie in Paris, and we've got a lot of local townspeople. We've got Kylie. We've got several Kylies.
Mm.
If you separated the visuals to the song, I would have actually thought it was something from like the next album. We're a year and 2 months after Can't Get You Out of My Head being released. The look of Kylie's just a bit different now.
Yeah.
So it felt a little bit moved on.
Again, you know, like Love at First Sight, where she was giving a more casual look. This is like daytime Kylie, you know. This is Kylie popping down to the shops, which is literally what she does in this video on loop 4 or 5 times.
Getting something from the post office.
Dropping her parcel. What is she like? Oh my God. Messy Kylie. Forgetful Kylie. Dropping her parcel.
It's so funny, right? And I sound like a right idiot, but watching it the first time, when it starts, I'm like, did she mean to drop that? And then obviously Kylie picks it up.
The Kylie part 2, Kylie version 2 picks it up. And then, yeah, I find that this video is such a work of art. I can watch it so closely every single time, like it's the first time. This is so incredible that Pitchfork ranked this music video at number 14 on their top 50 music videos of all time of the 2000s era.
Bloody hell.
I know, like critically acclaimed. It took 15 days to design and digitally master this video. They had 50 extras on set. And even that, like, again, like we're saying, watching it again, you can watch this as many times as you want and you'll pick up something different, because each of the characters in the background, when they're duplicated, is doing something different. So they have their own little narratives going on.
So what's interesting is that the director used the concept he had for Nina Cherry's music video, which was from 1997. Ooh. So I do wonder if even in that small amount of time from 97 to 2002, he got to execute it in more the way it was in, like, the intention, because of where technology had moved on.
I've never seen that Nene Cherry video. If you guys want to look it up, it's called Feel It. I watched it for the first time today and I was like, I can sort of see what they're doing. Like, Nene's walking around the block in a loop again, similar to what Kylie does here in the Parisian suburbs. But it just wasn't as finessed as Kylie's, you know. It was a lot of like reverse motion, which is very like basic iMovie trick. But
oh, sorry,
sorry. Listen,
all of us made a Melanie C music video in university day in Lynn.
High school, but yeah.
It was. It's quite easy to do that, really.
Critically acclaimed director me, yeah. Trying to give Michelle Gondry notes. Oh my God. Not this guy who's like directed videos for Bjork and he's like having to listen to my shit.
Absolutely. Not accepting. This is what I tell people now. I'm not actually accepting any review or critique at this time, but thank you very much.
That will be Michelle's comments under like this podcast notes. Wow.
Anyway, back to what's easy on iMovie, David. Go on, give us the masterclass.
You know, hats off to Kylie and their team. Like, they really went there. Fourth single. JB, I want to give a shout out to the remix, which Kylie performed. The Fisher Spooner remix.
Where did she perform it?
She performed this at the Top of the Pops Awards ceremony in November.
Ooh, get it, Kylie Ann. Fabulous.
Gritty electronica with like a really heavy metal edge to it. I was shook. I was like, ready for Kylie to get rocky.
Absolutely. We're here for Rocky Kylie. A bit of a throwback to Impossible Princess era in a way. So what I found really interesting is that you came across a lost B-side for this single, didn't you?
Oh my God. So I wasn't even intending to do this. I fell into a rabbit hole of just Googling Madonna and Kylie.
As you should.
As we should. After Kylie's surgery and recovery from breast cancer, she had a behind the scenes documentary called White Diamond. And in there, in the film, she had an unreleased Madonna and Rick Knowles collaboration that Madonna wrote during the Ray of Light sessions. The song is called Alone Again. Kylie recorded the track as a potential B-side for Come Into My World, but for some reason it didn't get released as a B-side. But it made it into White Diamond. And Madonna received a special thanks from Kylie in the film's closing credits. So yeah, I just want to give a shout out to that track and what could have been in this era.
Just love that. And again, I think we're ready for more Kylie and Madonna collaborations. So let's get to it, David, then. You've teased it, you've spoiled it. Whilst Kylie Ann may have not won the Grammy the previous year, this year, Come Into My World is nominated for Best Dance Recording at the Grammys. And it's not only nominated, David, but what is it?
She won it. Kylie Ann's
she
first
bloody
Grammy.
Won it.
Oh my God. For Come Into My World, the fourth single of the album, like a finally. US promo around this time was very interesting. So now we're at the end of 2002, right? Kylie, instead of, you know, she had her world tour. Instead of adding US dates, what she did was she went and did the Kiss FM Jingle Bell Ball shows in December. Now, this was where she performed all four singles from Fever and The Locomotion. So that was her giving a flavor of it in America. As our lovely friend Miss Eliza Day said, she was in the audience at Madison Square Garden when Kylie performed it as part of this tour.
Amazing.
Iconic. Despite all this push, you know, Grammy win and, you know, the kind of Kiss FM tour, like the single made number 91 on the US Billboard Hot 100. And I can't help but feel like, okay, if maybe Kylie did some more TV or like a little bit more of a push here at this time, it could have had a bit more of a moment, but...
Yeah, but third single in America, fourth single worldwide, and we see a bunch of our favourite pop girls, American, main American pop girls, some of their singles hit the bubbling under, you know? They're in the bubbling under chart. Kylie's still in the top 100 here.
The single still did very well outside of the US. Debuted at number 4 in Australia, certified gold. Here in the UK, debuted at number 8. Joel, what were you thinking?
Number 9 in Scotland. Scotland, what were you thinking? 11 in Ireland. Come on, guys. And ultimately, chart positions to one side, it won a Mother Grammy Award.
That's true.
So, David Liam, that brings us to the end of the Fever era.
Oh, I'm so sad because, look, we've had such a ball doing this, JB. Look, we love doing Kylie. We don't do her enough. This is only the second time ever we've done a Kylie episode. But if you like what we do, show us lots of enthusiasm in the comments. Share it with your pop-loving friends.
If you are feeling the fever like we do, leave us a lovely 5-star review and hit that subscribe button. Obviously, we want to do a lot more Minogue content.
Oh my God,
here.
When we get to body language, that is me. That is a bit of me.
Guys, we adore you. You know that. Follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. You can follow me at Dr_JoelB and you can follow him at
Lovely Me.
Until next time, come into our world. Bye. Bye.